Thank you, men, for leading us in that time of worship. Thank you to those men who led us in prayer tonight as well. Good reminder of the many needs that are around us. Also encourage everyone to continue to pray for Miss Joy Armstrong as Tom's funeral was yesterday. Continue to be praying for her and her boys. And as has been mentioned several times, it was a joy last night to see everyone here. I wasn't able to be up here in here, but after I got done, some things downstairs came up, and it was overflowing into the lobby. There were so many parents and families here last night. It was a great blessing. As I was walking around yesterday afternoon with our boys and introducing them to their teachers, lots of new faces, lots of new families. So it's a great opportunity to minister and to reach out into our community. So thankful for all the teachers that God has provided us with, just great godly teachers. Thank you for Dr. Hawks and her leadership, and of course, Pastor Dan and the board and everybody. It's going to be an exciting year. I pray that Lord will do amazing things through that. As we begin, though, tonight, during our first week in our study of I Am, Jesus and His Own Words, we looked at Jesus saying that I am the bread of the life. And He's the one who nourishes us and provides for us. He meets our soul's greatest hunger, our greatest desire, which is forgiveness of sins and a relationship with our Lord and Savior, the one who created us and made us to know Him and to love Him and worship Him. And so we see Jesus meet that as He met the physical hunger of the crowd of 5,000 men, plus the women and children that were there with them, demonstrating that He alone can meet their physical hungers and desires, but He alone is the one who can meet our spiritual hungers and desires, which again is for a relationship with God Himself. Then last week in our study, Pastor Dan preached on Jesus saying in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus stood there in the temple with the candelabras being lit, and He declared that He is the Shekinah glory of God. He is the one who allows the blind to see, the physically blind man that He heals there in John chapter 9, who's not only physically blind, but spiritually blind. And every person, every single one of us is walking in the darkness of sin and needs to see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. As Pastor Dan asked us some questions last week at the end of our time together, have you seen the light? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you seen that light of the gospel? If you have, then are you walking in the light of the gospel? Are we walking step in step with Him in our lives each and every day? And then, are you in the light as He is in the light? And are we seeking to be the light to the world around us? We live in a dark world with people full of hurt, people who have done wrong and been wronged, and just so many things, so many times we see just great effects of sin all around us, the darkness around us. But Jesus is the light of the world, the one who brings hope through darkness. And tonight we move on to Jesus' next saying in John chapter 10 and verse 7, when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So tonight, as Pastor Dan has done in these past couple of lessons, we're going to look at both the sign and the statement as we've been doing in the study. So if you all want to turn with me to John chapter 10, we'll be looking at John chapter 10, and we'll begin by reading the first six verses. Here it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So tonight, the sign that we're going to look at is the relationship between sheep and their shepherd. Well, this one's not going to necessarily be related to some miracle, but we're going to look at the relationship between sheep and their shepherd. And I know I've heard different things about this, but it's been a while since I had reviewed much of this. And some things I don't believe that I did know about this relationship between sheep and their shepherds. So we're going to take a few minutes and look at that. First off, we're going to look at the nature of sheep. I think we all know this, but sheep are some of the most unintelligent, stubborn, dirty, messy, scared, forgetful, and difficult animals. That's how sheep act. That's how they're described. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, says this regarding sheep. Among the animal kingdom, sheep seem to have come out on the short end. From all accounts, they are of limited intelligence. When it comes to finding food, they are definitely uncreative. As creatures of habit, they will follow paths through desolate places, even though not far away is excellent forage. Sheep are also given to listless wandering. They are definitely at the lower end of the intelligent scale. Guess who the sheep in this passage represent? Us. So everything I just said about sheep is also about us. We people, specifically God's people, Christians. So make no mistake about it. As we read this passage tonight, Jesus is saying that we as his sheep are not the sharpest tools in the shed. We need to be guided. We need to be helped. We need to be broken out of bad habits. We need to see the good around us and be kept from aimless wandering in our lives. And I think as we think about this description of sheep and we stop and we look at ourselves in our own lives, as much as it hurts us to say, these things are often true of us. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd and wrote a book about Psalm 23, explains how helpless sheep truly are. It's a great little book. If you can get it on Amazon or something, I'd encourage you to get it and read it. And in that book, he gives an example of the helplessness of sheep. He describes how a sheep can become cast down. So when a sheep becomes cast down, they go and they lay down, and it could be a perfectly healthy sheep, not necessarily a weak or small sheep, a nice big healthy sheep. He can go lay down in a small hollow or even just a little depression in the ground. And as it rolls on its side to scratch itself or to relax, suddenly its body weight shifts. And before he knows it, his feet are up off the ground and he begins to get scared. Well, as it gets scared, the worst thing it could do is panic. And that's exactly what the sheep does. It begins panicking and pawing for the ground. And next thing it knows, it's even further on its back. And the sheep is absolutely, positively helpless. So sheep, once again, we're helpless. We're unintelligent without the shepherd. And sheep are also easily frightened. Sheep can get scared by the most ridiculous sound or the simplest of movements. They can become quickly afraid. I know that can be true in my own life. Sheep can also be frightened 1 minute to run away, but then they can also become absolutely, positively stubborn the next and not want to move. Sheep are also completely defenseless. They don't have sharp claws, sharp teeth. Compared to their prey, they're very slow. Of all the domesticated animals, they require the most work. I don't know if you all remember this video. I can't recall if this goes back to Pastor John's days or if it was earlier in Pastor Dan's days, but there was a sermon and there was a video going around 5, 6, 7 years ago, and there's a sheep. And in this video, he's hopping along. He's just hopping, happy sheep. Well, there's a ditch. This happy sheep is hopping along, and all of a sudden that sheep, whoop, falls right down in the ditch. So the owner of that sheep, the shepherd of that sheep, you could say, comes along, picks it up by its head's down in the ditch, and its feet are sticking up in the air. He pulls it out by its feet, sets it over here away from the ditch, pointing it that direction, takes a couple hops, hops right back to the direction of the ditch, and in the ditch, the sheep goes again. So all this to say, this is God's picture of you and I, of us as Christians, of people. It's not a very flattering picture of this. So now that I brought all of our self-esteem way down low tonight, there's also an aspect here of a very intimate relationship between sheep and their shepherd. When we think of sheep being taken care of in our day, in our age, we think of sheep dogs or farmers in a four-wheeler or side-by-side pushing the sheep to go where they want, to go into the next field that has a nice big fence around it, and they're safe and they're well kept. But for a shepherd back in the first century in Palestine there and in Israel, he wouldn't push his sheep, but rather he would lead his sheep. There were some sheep that would have been raised to be sold for meat, some that might have been sold for offerings, for sacrifices there in Israel, but most of their sheep were kept so they could shear the wool off and sell that wool. So a shepherd would care for his sheep for years. Oftentimes they can live a couple of decades. So a shepherd would become intimately acquainted with his sheep, taking care of them, being with them 24 hours a day, all night. A shepherd was with his sheep, caring for them. And it would be considered a tragic loss for a shepherd to not be with his sheep or for him to lose his sheep. And that's why Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 are so powerful. Jesus, the good shepherd, looks upon the crowds and it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks upon these crowds and he has compassion for them in his heart. So there was an intimacy between sheep and their shepherd, but there was also something very important about the voice of the shepherd. In Jesus' time, Jewish shepherds had two different kinds of sheepfolds. They would often have one out in the countryside, which could be a cave or a natural place where they could protect their sheep. And sometimes they would even build some little slow-walled corrals where they could take their sheep and put them in there for the night so that they would be safe. The other kind was a communal corral. It would be near the town or in the town, and it would be made much bigger, much larger, much more sturdy. And oftentimes, multiple shepherds would bring their sheep to that corral. And this communal corral is the corral that Jesus has in mind. And at this corral, there would have been a gatekeeper that would have stood at the opening. There would have been four walls, and in one of those four walls, there would just simply be a narrow way for the sheep and the shepherd to come in and to come out, and there would be a professionally paid gatekeeper to be there at that communal corral. So when a shepherd would come back to get his sheep, he'd go up to the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper would recognize the shepherd, and the shepherd would then to speak to his sheep. And when a shepherd spoke to his sheep, they had developed this intimate relationship. And every shepherd had their own little sing-song kind of way in which they would talk to their sheep and call them to themselves so that they could follow them. And then if we look there in verse 3, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So not only do the sheep recognize the shepherd's name, but the shepherd has individual names for each of his sheep. They would recognize his name and they would recognize him and his voice, and he would have a name for each and every one of them. He knows his sheep. He spends 24 hours a day with them, and he would look at their different characteristics and maybe name one sheep black ear and one fluffy and one long nose and one big foot or whatever it might be. But they would have little names for their sheep. And the same way, Jesus knows us. He has a close, intimate relationship with us. He calls us by name. And so this sign here is very, very important as we look at these first few verses, verses 1 through 5. We see this picture here of a shepherd coming to this community corral to call his sheep out to him. And he's protecting them from the thief and from the robber. And we're going to discuss more about them here in just a moment. But we see these sheep in this corral, and they hear the voice of their shepherd. And this leads us to verse 7, to the statement, which is the shepherd's promise of provision and protection for the sheep. Here in this verse, we're going to see that this statement Jesus makes is a promise of provision and protection. Going on in verse 7, it says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.'" So here we see this promise of provision. Here Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." And thinking again about this corral, again, you would have four walls. And in one of these four walls, there would be an opening where the shepherd and the sheep could go in and out. And one time there was an Old Testament scholar who was visiting the Middle East and came across a shepherd and had some interactions with him. This shepherd was not a Christian man at all. But the shepherd showed him his sheepfold and where he kept his sheep at night. And it consisted, again, of the four simple walls and one way in and out. So this Old Testament scholar asked the shepherd, "So this is where they stay at night?" And he said, "Yes." But he said, "How can they be safe in the fold if there is no door, no gate?" The shepherd replied, "I am the door." This shepherd was not a Christian man, but he's perfectly illustrating what Jesus is communicating to us here in this passage. The scholar asked, "What do you mean by the door?" The shepherd said this, "When the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space. And no sheep goes out but across my body. And no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." So here, when Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep," he's saying that he is the living door. In order to go into the fold, you must go through him. If the sheep go out into the pasture, they must go through the shepherd. As the door, Jesus is the protector and provider of his sheep. When you go in the door, you're not only saved, but you are safe. Later on, here in John chapter 10, in verse 28, we see Jesus say, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, when we go into become one of His sheep, into His fold, when we place our faith in Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, His burial and resurrection, we're forever safe and protected by our shepherd forever. We're always and forever His. It reminds us of our study in the Holy Spirit and the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, that He is our inheritance, our guarantee. We are forever His. He is the door by which we go in to the sheepfold. But then He's also the one who keeps us safe. We see here this passage speaking of thieves and robbers. Back in chapter 9, as He heals that blind man that Pastor Dan was preaching about last week, at the very end of chapter 9, verse 4, He says, "Some of the Pharisees near Him heard these things and said to Him, 'Are we also blind?' And Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains.'" And many scholars and people in the commentaries think that Jesus is more than likely talking about these Pharisees who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel. But they had become more like thieves and robbers. They were not pointing people to the truth of the gospel of trust and dependence in God for salvation. Instead, they were trying to have them follow legalistic rules to earn their salvation. They could never find protection or provision or security in God. They're always seeking to prove themselves and to earn their salvation. These were false teachers. These were poor leaders who were acting more like robbers and thieves than the spiritual leaders that they should have been acting like. Jesus may have also had in mind here some of the things that happened in the Maccabean revolt and different political things leading up to this time, and perhaps false teachers. And thankfully, God is the one who gives us His Holy Spirit. Back to our study on the Holy Spirit. He helps us to illuminate the Word of God to us so we can understand truth and what truth is. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us have discernment when we see poor leadership or bad teaching, false teachers. And He's also given us other shepherds and pastors and teachers to protect us from those things. But Jesus is also the door allowing the sheep to go in, to come into the fold, and also to go out to find pasture. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's taken us out to pasture to help us to live an abundant life. At the end of verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." What is that abundant life? What does it mean to have an abundant life? It is a life where the sheep simply follows its shepherd. Let's turn to a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23. I'd like to just take a minute and to read this psalm and for us to meditate upon it. And this is a picture of a good shepherd leading his sheep. And as we think about this in our lives, we know that Jesus is our good shepherd. Takes us through tough times. He takes us through valleys, through difficulties. Things aren't always easy and perfect, but He is always there with us. And Psalm 23 describes that so very well for us. And Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, we see the picture of a good shepherd leading his sheep to live the abundant life. Are we following our shepherd? Are we listening to His Word? Are we being obedient to what He has called us to do? Are we seeking to submit our lives to Him each and every day, waking up and saying, "God, we want to follow You. I want to do what You would have me to do today." Is that going to share the gospel with a friend, a neighbor, a family member? Is it going to serve someone in some practical way? What is the Lord leading you to do? Maybe taking a step of faith in some area of your life. How is the Lord leading and directing each one of us? And again, He follows all this up again with that warning there in verse 10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We know ultimately that the ultimate thief is Satan and the powers of darkness, seeking to keep you and I from living that abundant life, from following Jesus Christ. We live in a world filled with this whole system where they're constantly fighting and attacking against Christians to get us to buy into the world's way of thinking and living. And every day, if we go and we rub shoulders with people in our community and the world around us, we see the impact that has on their lives. Just within the last week, I've been reminded of the great need we have in our own community to go out and to share the gospel. I've run into a couple of people just in the last week who said they had never been to church in their entire lives. Never even stepped foot in a church building here in Mercer County. We need to be diligent to go and to share the gospel, to develop relationships, to show them the love of Christ. Because that thief is seeking to come to kill and steal and destroy. So Jesus, in verse 7, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Have we gone in? Have we trusted in Jesus Christ? Have we walked through that door of faith, trusting in Him and His work on the cross for our sins? And then are we trusting Him to lead us out into the pastures of life? Our lives are full of different twists and turns. And as I look out on the congregation here tonight, many of you could tell me different stories of ways God has led you as a good shepherd. Different steps of faith, different steps of obedience where you didn't know what would happen, but yet God led you. He brought you through different waters. I think even tonight of the school and the school building, just voted on that back in January, began to get the buildings and breaking ground on April, and here it is, August 20th, and there the buildings are with just a little bit of fine details, but most of the big work is done. I never would have thought it was possible. Following our good shepherd, seeking to do what he has called us to do. So are you and I following him? Are we living that abundant life? Again, it's not always going to be easy. There will be hardship involved. There will be times where he convicts us of sin and we are to confess sin. There will be times where he shows us we need to be more obedient to him in different areas of life. But are we seeking to follow our good shepherd? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the good shepherd that you are. We thank you that you are the door and that only by you and you alone can we have salvation. Lord, thank you that through you our salvation is safe. It is secure. And Lord, we thank you that you are constantly protecting us from the world and its way of thinking, from the attacks of Satan. And Lord, from those who would be false teachers and poor leaders that would seek to lead us in a wrong direction. We thank you for how you protect us from these different attacks. Lord, we pray you continue to protect us and to be with us. We thank you for Pastor Dan and his leadership and faithfully preaching your word. I pray you'd help each of us as pastors to be good leaders, good under-shepherds, to faithfully teach your word. And Lord, that we would not be afraid to stand up against false doctrine or wrong teaching. And Lord, we do pray that we would be good sheep, that we would follow you, our good shepherd, in whatever area of life you are directing us, whether steps of obedience or faith you are calling us to take, that we would submit our hearts and our lives to you and seek to be obedient. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.